Thank you, very lovely. Have several announcements. I'm not going to make all the ones in the bulletin. I'm going to leave those for you to read today, except for taking your red pad, signing, passing it down, have a record of your attendance. We would very much appreciate that. I'd like to take a moment. This is not only being Pentecost Sunday, but Memorial Day weekend. And we, as you know, you may or may not have noticed, we put the flag for this morning in a little more place of prominence. This is such a wonderful thing, and we do appreciate our military. I know that I do very much. There would be no freedom without our military. So for a moment, we'd just like to take a moment, and for everyone, every branch, whatever it was, if you would please stand, we would like to recognize our military this morning. Sometimes until you see that, you don't realize how many people have served their country. And some in war, some not, but certainly willing to go if they were called up. So God bless each and every one of you and those in the future, young people who may be going into the service. Several things I want to recognize this morning and let you know. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. I'm going for a wedding of my niece in South Carolina, so I'll be heading down to the tropical storm, so you can throw out that little, I was thinking about my niece this morning. Out of all the baptisms I've done, my entire ministry, you see me, I pick up a child, they just kind of, they calm down, they smile at me, the eyes get big. I picked up my niece, she screamed bloody murder the whole time. The only one, family. So I'm glad I'm not doing her wedding. But Jay McMillan, Presbyterian minister, will be here Sunday for communion. And then the next Sunday, Betty Angelini will be here. And they've both been here, and I've heard good things about them. She doesn't know that I'm going to do this, but Vi Rao has been our librarian next door, historical. For how many years, Vi? 47 years keeping that library together. And it's a wonderful library. Some people don't know that it's open, but it is. It is open. And now she is handing the reins of power over, and we'll introduce her a little bit better later at another time. We're going to try to get her maybe for a youth sermon and maybe do something with our youth. But Sandy Russell, and may both you ladies stand. So people who don't know, if you can stand for a second, and let's give them a round of applause. Sandy works with Duquesne University, correct? And she'll be doing this. And of course, this library is not full time, but they'll be announcing some hours. So go in, and when they get it all announced, we'll tell you the hours and go in and check the library out. It's really a nice library. So we appreciate that. We had a congregational meeting last week, and the congregation approved monies for the parking lot. You can tell it's been in bad shape, and ever since the flood really damaged, water got under it, made it even worse, and we've gotten right out 20 years out of that parking lot. So Clara Kaler and her grounds team went to work getting bids, and for the past few months, and probably she seems like forever for them. So I would like for the ground, Clara and all the grounds team that worked on this, they would just stand for a moment. She doesn't want to. I made the mistake of telling her. There's one here too. Thank you. So that work will be done soon, and it'll make the parking lot a lot safer. So we thank them, and this pioneer is the one that will be doing it. One other thing, and I've got a few pictures, and I'm going to ask that those who were out the other night and took photographs, if you'll maybe email me some so I can get some more, but I've got just a few that I'm going to show you real quickly. We came down Thursday night at 7 and had a dedication for the Valley Garden. And this is, for those of you who know or don't know, it's over on the, where am I? Yeah, this way. Directions is not my thing. And it's over against the woods, and it's long, and they've divided up in little plots, and a lot of people have signed up. I think there's still some plots left if you want one. If not, they can make it, we'll make it a little bit bigger because we want everyone to have one. And you grow your food, and then part of it is going to be donated to the food banks, I believe Edna and Millville Food Bank. So I'm real excited about this. When I called my brother in South Carolina, he's getting ready to have an operation, was telling him about it. He said his church just started the same thing the week before. So it's nice to see other churches doing this and realizing the need. So I'll just show you a couple of pictures and some of the people. I know they'll all say, oh, I know y'all can't see them. So we'll see them to you low. You can see them a little bit, see them a little later. And this is me with my wonderful photography. That's laying out, if you can see it, and a shovel and a post digger. And this is them again, celebrating and holding up their little, I believe, tomato plants and digging and getting started. And I didn't take enough pictures, but they needed a little help digging. They were having trouble. So I brought my dog Xenon down. So he just got in there, laid on his side and dug, and stood up and dug, and then he ate some of the dirt, and Clara got a kiss from him, and they had a good time. And there's another, and there's other people, but other cameras were used, but that's just a few to show you, and they were just really happy about it, and you can see the tree line, and really excited about getting this project going. And this came out of trustees talking about it a couple of years ago with Dan Nelson and Nancy and the Board of Trustees, and it kind of germinated. Then it came over to Clara's team. Then it came up to Session. Dan had brought it to Clara and then to Session. And then Shawnee worked very, very hard, our clerk of Session, putting a proposal together. And then took about a month or so to get that going. Then it all got approved. And just very, very excited about what is going on. So God bless it. Okay. Any other announcements that need to be made? If you want to write a check, you can write it to the church and it'll be donated there. Just say Bread of Life. Or you can write it straight to the food bank and give it to the deacons and they'll make sure that they get it. Dan, quickly. Okay, they'll be ready to plan on Monday if anybody wants it and ready to go. Anyone else? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise this morning, He is here, He is here, 256. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for having the power of the universe at your command. We thank you for sending the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Forgive us when we fail to accept the gift in our lives. Help us to have the same courage as the apostles. Teach us how to follow your Spirit on a daily basis. May we use this gift to build up your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together here at Glenshaw Valley with a true sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Persons here, I'm sure you don't know their names. Be sure to greet them and ask them their name. As the choir gets ready to bring their anthem, American Hymn, Lynn and Mike were at Gettysburg, right, a while back, and she sent me two emails with photographs, and they're of the cemetery there of Gettysburg, so I'm going to put while they're singing the song, I'm going to put the two different PowerPoints up there. I wanted you to know where they came from.
Three.
Our responsive reading is in the back of your red hymnals, The Holy Spirit, 644. 644. The Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
Now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going?
But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart,
and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Of sin, because they do not believe in me.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more.
Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He will glorify me, for he will take up what is mine and declare it to you.
All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service with a pastoral prayer and ask you to submit them quickly if possible. We've got several names on the back. If you continue to pray for these persons. And an update on Sue Gill. She was taken to St. Margaret's this morning. She was having trouble, kind of glazed, I guess the best way to put it, over one of her eyes, her good eye. So her family came and took her over. And so let's continue prayers for her and then that new situation. Diane Croyle called me yesterday from Passavant. She was in the hospital for some of her same issues that we've been praying for years, but she was supposed to be going home today. But let's continue to pray for her. And I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother Mike, who'll be operated on the 30th when he had the cancer in his ear, and he's got a hole from the radiation's not closing up, so they got to cut him and pull the skin from his head and pull it over to close up that hole, and we hope no infection is down further. So, anyone else? Okay. For her daughter Patricia, she has kidney stones, one real large at 6 centimeters, so let's be in prayer for her. Yes. For her cousin Dave, who is battling prostate cancer. Okay, trouble with some kidney stones or a kidney in medicine. Okay, for Anna, with heart and tumor and possible aneurysms. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, Mike Sim, a friend of Chuck's, 51, died of a heart attack while he's driving. And Hilda is out of St. Barnabas and home. Okay, for prayers for Diane. Okay, thank you.
My beautiful mother-in-law is celebrating her 80th birthday today.
Okay. Mother-in-law celebrating 80th birthday, so well wishes. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. In Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this very beautiful day. We thank you for your love and your kindness, your mercy. We thank you for the gift of salvation provided through Jesus Christ. You have done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And we thank you that when Jesus ascended into heaven and a certain period had passed, a time, in your perfect planning, you sent the Holy Spirit to empower your apostles and your disciples to build your church. That Holy Spirit is still among us today. Help us to understand that and to allow it to empower us to have the fullness of what you desire for our lives, to be able to speak the gospel forth boldly, to care about persons who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and to establish a relationship, to bond with a church, and to study and read their Bibles, and to have fellowship. Lord, thank you for every good thing that you do for us, being there to help us through the troubles and tribulations of life, but also with us to celebrate all the good times. We thank you for that. Help us as we go through the journey of life. And we know that at the very end, you will be there for us and with us throughout all eternity. We lift all these different prayers to you in our Valley newsletter, listed in our bulletins, the ones that were spoken out today, and all those silent prayers that may be being whispered to you right now. We come together in agreement and ask that you not only hear these prayers, but that you answer them according to your wisdom, your power, your love, and knowing what is best for each of our lives. Lord, we also pray for our country. We pray today especially for all of our military personnel, especially for those in harm's way in battle, but for everyone, all those in support, that are in supply, and even here in the United States, that all that they do to keep us safe, that we can have freedom, and help us to hold on to true freedom. We need it, Lord, that we can worship, that we can go about our business and have our jobs and do the things that we desire to do. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for Jesus Christ, the freedom that he gives us, the true everlasting freedom. And thank you for the prayer that he left us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a hymn of preparation on the screen, Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness. Thank you.
Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Oh, come and sing the song of gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lambs.
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again we thank You for the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means for the world, especially those who will accept what Christ has done. His death, His burial, His resurrection, ascension into heaven, seated at the right hand of power, and sending the Holy Spirit back to empower Your church. So of all that You have done for us, we give back from our first fruits. Lord, we desire to add new members to our church. We desire to add fellowship. We desire to add programs. And we, most of all, desire to add love and mercy and salvation. Help us to be the church that You have called us to be. Thank You. And as pastor here, I thank You for every gift that is used for Your glory. Every telephone call that is made, every ride that is given, every meal that is cooked, and for the garden, food that will be given away, and the food that is being taken up to give to the food banks, and the women's group for what they do. Every group, everything, Lord, bless these wonderful people. In the name of Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you. Very excited. Today we have a new scripture reader. This morning, first time, Bill's not here, and lined up two scripture readers for us. And of course, I picked a long, hard one for Paul to read. I didn't do it on purpose, but...
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
I want to say that was a little bit better response than what Bill gets, but... today's scripture reading is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen.
Wonderful. I hope you'll volunteer to read again. And you read those names better than I do. I always dread that every year. Ten minutes to preach a 20-minute sermon. Let's see what we can do. Tornadoes, hurricanes, typhoons have always been with us, and no one wants to be caught up in what we might want to call freaks of nature. But probably the most famous tornado of all time exists only in a work of fiction. Once there lived a little girl named Dorothy. Dorothy lived with her aunt and uncle in Kansas during the Depression. And one day a violent tornado struck their house. And this powerful storm takes Dorothy and her little dog Toto into an entirely different and new world. There's not one single thing in this new world that resembles the world that she's previously lived in. In this new world, there's immense beauty of which she has never even been able to dream about. But there's also frightful danger. Along the way, Dorothy develops friendships with a scarecrow who needs a brain, a tin man who wants a heart, and a cowardly lion who desperately needs courage. Together, these four plus Toto have a mighty adventure. And by the time Dorothy returns home to Kansas, she has learned many, many lessons about life. Well, our lesson from the epistle today on this Pentecost Sunday begins with the sound of a violent wind, and we have no reason to believe that it was a tornado or any kind of thing like that, because no damage whatsoever was recorded. Nevertheless, this wind filled the room where the disciples of Jesus were gathered together on this very auspicious day. And the disciples did not even realize it at the time, but this wind would carry them on an adventure that would last them for the rest of their lives. An adventure both fascinating and frightening, delightful and dangerous, life-changing and life-surrendering. On the day of Pentecost, a violent wind filled the house where the disciples were gathered, and what seemed like tongues of fire came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Now, the day of Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, and the city was filled with Jews from every nation known at that time on earth. And when they heard the sound of a violent wind and the disciples speaking in various languages, a crowd gathered in bewilderment. One reason they were bewildered was that each person in the crowd heard them speaking in their own language. There were some there from Spain. Then a Spanish person could understand Peter or one of the other apostles speaking to them. A miracle. Remember, they represented every nation known at that time, and yet each of them heard the disciples speaking in their own language, kind of like being at the United Nations and someone speaking and someone's translating into your headset, so everybody there is hearing what the speaker says, no matter what language he or she may be speaking in. Utterly amazed, people in the crowd asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? What does this mean?" Well, what does it mean? I mean, that's a very good question. For one thing, it means that God was there. God's presence was there. And there was no other explanation for Pentecost. The wind, the tongues of fire, the crowd who heard the gospel, each in his own language. This was a world-changing event. God was issuing a new worldwide movement, a movement that was destined to sweep across all areas of the earth. This was the plan of God. God was preparing the way for the gospel to enter every land. We are, in Christianity, a universal faith meant to go everywhere. And that was exactly what God intended. One day, every knee shall bow, St. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. And not just every Western knee, not every Caucasian knee, not every knee just in the Bible Belt, but every knee on earth will bow at the name of Jesus. Even though the Christian movement has stalled for a while in America and Europe, it is exploding in many parts of the world, and it's an exciting thing to be happening. Look at the record. In 1900, 80% of all Christians lived in Europe or America. Today, that statistic has been halved. Only 40% of Christians live in America or Europe, and fully 60% live in developing countries. Of the world's 6 billion people, more than 2 billion are Christians. In other words, one-third of the people on this planet profess Christ. There are also 480 million Christians now in Latin America, 313 million in Asia, and 360 in Africa. Central and South America is the largest generation to have experienced an explosion of Christian converts. And in Asia, China continues to be the big story. David Ackerman, in Jesus in Beijing, a book, estimates that there are currently 100 million Christians in China. most of whom worship in underground churches. We are a universal movement. It was no accident. This was planned in God's divine plan for humanity, that God fell upon the church on this particular day when there were so many foreigners present in Jerusalem. This was God's plan all along. You know, the apostles, James, when you go back and read about him, and we've talked about it before, James wanted to wear a crown of glory. But what Jesus gave him instead was a crown of suffering. He was the first of the 12 killed for his faith. Herod Agrippa had him beheaded. Philip was martyred by stoning 8 years after the death of James. Stephen, of course, was stoned to death as the Apostle Paul, then known as Saul, as he was rounding up the Christians, actually held his cloak and watched him be stoned to death. Only one of the 12 disciples probably died of a natural cause in his beloved disciple, John, one of who was given the care of Jesus' mother, died in 98 A.D. According to Jerome, John was so frail in his final days at Ephesus that he had to be carried into the church. One phrase was constantly on his lips. It says, "My little children, love one another. It is the Lord's command, and if this alone be done, it is enough." Can there be any doubt that something miraculous happened on this day we call Pentecost? Something that could only have come from God. The writer of Acts tells us that there were 3,000 people who were added to the church on that day. 3,000 in one single day. What an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was. What an amazing thing. These were ordinary people who were used by God in a very extraordinary way. None of these men were high-powered executives. None were superstars that we look to today to get our messages from so we can follow. None were high government officials. These were ordinary men with ordinary dreams until the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them and anointed them. Andrew Lloyd Webber and Timothy Rice got it right in their portrayal of the disciples in the 1971 rock musical that's still popular today, Jesus Christ Superstar. Remembering that one song, you remember that one song sung by the disciples? "Always hoped that I'd be an apostle. Knew that I would make it if I tried. Then when we retire, we can write the gospels so they'll all talk about us when we die." The disciples were very much like you and me. Before the Holy Spirit came and anointed them and touched them, and they had a part of God within them, they were selfish. They were ambitious for themselves. But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were ambitious not for themselves, but for Jesus Christ and for the upbuilding of Jesus' church. A total transformation. Not worried about dying anymore, but boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ right there in the street before the Jewish authorities, before the Roman authorities. They didn't care anymore. After Pentecost, they were so transformed that they began to turn the world upside down. And all the world's people will someday be God's people. That is the promise of Scripture. Notice the second miracle that took place that day, the change that occurred in the lives of the disciples. Remember, these men who were testifying had basically been in seclusion since Christ's crucifixion out of fear of the Roman authorities. The resurrection buoyed their spirits, but it did not change them into charismatic apostles of Jesus Christ proclaiming his name and performing miracles that all the world could witness. Yet here they are witnessing in such a way that even strangers who spoke no Hebrew or Aramaic knew what they were saying. So just knowing Jesus didn't give them that strength until the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Of course, some of the onlookers, as people always do, made fun of them. There's cynics in every crowd. So they've had too much wine to drink. But Peter put them straight in a hurry. Think of it. Simon Peter spoke up this time, and Peter got it right for a change. Somehow his foot-in-the-mouth disease has been cured. That alone qualifies for a miracle if you look at his life. Peter's uncharacteristically eloquent. He raises his voice and addresses the crowd and says, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully." And then he goes on and he gives that speech. But it wasn't just Peter who was transformed. On this day, Thomas the doubter became Thomas the dynamic. What a change in his life. And he later took the gospel to India, where he was martyred. Simon the Zealot, whose name implies that he was more interested in politics than religion, became an effective preacher for the gospel. Nearly all of these men who were testifying eventually paid the ultimate price for their devotion to Jesus. John MacArthur, in his book, The 12 Disciples, tells about the price that they paid, and I've talked about it before. Peter was crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord Jesus. Andrew died lashed to a cross rather than being nailed to it because he wanted to prolong his suffering. Wouldn't you love to see such a miracle take place in Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church? It could happen. But each and every one of us need to be willing for it to happen. Each and every one of us need to be willing to surrender ourselves and become true disciples of Christ. We would need to pray that whatever it costs, God would use us to touch our family members, our co-workers, our neighbors, as the disciples touch the lives of all the people around them. We would need to become new people. We would need to pray that the Holy Spirit would work through us in such a dynamic way that it would make a real difference in us and a real difference in our community. Some of us would need to overcome some things in our lives, like our shyness, our fear, our timidity. And the Holy Spirit can do that for us when we realize it's not about us, it's about Christ, and it's about helping people along the way and find the path to God. And we need to get a heart for the lost souls of this world. We need to learn to speak the message of the gospel in power, but just as importantly, in love, in mercy, and grace. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost more than 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit fell on a group of untrained, uneducated men, Galileans, and they started speaking with a sincerity and a power that stayed with them till their deaths. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take my words, which I hope come from above, and translate them into your life so that you will believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that Jesus can empower you through the Holy Spirit to have a better life, to have the Spirit-filled life that He means for you to have. And I pray that you will be led by that same Spirit to translate God's love to everyone you meet, and you will help people find Christ as their Savior. If each of us could surrender ourselves to God's Holy Spirit, truly surrender, it will happen. It will hasten the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Would you like to see that happen? I believe in my heart that it can. God is here today, just as He was 2,000 years ago. He's here today. All God needs is for each of us to be willing to surrender, to quit fighting the Holy Spirit in His leading and in His guiding. Get your will out of the way and allow God's will to take over. Are you ready for a mighty adventure? God will take you on one if you'll allow it. We don't have to hear the sound of a mighty wind. We don't have to see flames of fire coming down. We can hear it in a still, calm, small, quiet voice. You have to listen, though. But God speaks. I know He speaks to me. I don't share it most of the time, but He talks to me. The power of Pentecost is here with us May 27th, 2012, at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Are we going to open ourselves up to that power, to the presence of the Holy Spirit? May God bless you. Amen. I know we went a little over today, but we had a lot of people to recognize, so you won't see me or hear me preach for 2 weeks, so that's your blessing. 247, Spirit of the Living God. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I always hope that you feel loved, that you feel a sense of fellowship here, that you feel safe. And as you go out into the world, I hope that you take the power of the Holy Spirit with you, that you take that love that Jesus Christ has shown to the world, and you tell people in the conversational way, in a personal way, with love and mercy and dignity, that Jesus is there for them, that they can have salvation and eternal life. Go out into the world in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.